And as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we might think about the conditions of that time. And no doubt we've reflected on that on Sundays and in the Christmas program. Jesus Christ was born to teenage parents who had to travel a long way to get where God was taking them in a stable cart from a cave. It's just hard to believe. Those are the conditions that God's own son was born into in this world. When he came into those conditions. In our day and time, we have great medical advances for which we are very grateful, very thankful. Moms especially can be thankful for that. We have great medical advances and a lot to take advantage of. But some folks have more to take advantage of than other folks. For example, when Beyonce had her baby, Blue Ivy, she chose the Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan. At the Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan, she was privileged to be in mahogany walls, hardwood floors, luxurious linens. She had her own kitchenette. She got a manicure and a pedicure and a massage every day to the tune of $2,500 a day. Now, Gwyneth Paltrow chose Mount Sinai Hospital to have her baby for $4,000 a day. She got imported cotton sheets and blankets, massage therapy to relieve the pain, and cookies and tea. Now, ladies, moms, I don't know, you know, when the moment came you were going to give birth, I'm sure the first thing that popped in your mind was, you know, I could really use some cookies and tea. But for $4,000 a day, you get cookies and tea. But if you really want to go for the best, the hospital to have your baby is Matilda Hospital in Hong Kong. You will be assigned your own doctor who also serves as your concierge. And he sets everything up for you for your stay there in your balcony room. Your bathroom will have glass Italian marble installed. You'll have Wi-Fi. You'll have cable TV. Your refrigerator, your private refrigerator, will be stocked with specialty juices and water. But if you decide to use the Matilda Hospital in Hong Kong, you need to start early. Book it early, at least 7 months in advance, and the reservation fee is $20,000. We think a lot of ourselves, don't we? We really do. All life is precious, I get that. But boy, we think a lot of ourselves. But when the King of all creation, God in human flesh, was born into the world, his father chose a stable, a dark night in a faraway place called Bethlehem, with two scared teenage parents who barely knew what to do. They depended entirely on God that night. And the Savior, the King, the Creator, was born into the world in Bethlehem. Return with me this morning one more time to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we have been surveying the Apostle Paul's grand sweeping declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ, of who he is, who that baby is that we rejoice about on Christmas in the manger. And in Colossians chapter 1, we have considered that Christ is our creator, he's our redeemer, he is our sustainer. And this morning we focus in on this one great truth, that Christ is our God. He is our God. Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin reading this morning at verse 19. Paul says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that is in Christ, "and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven." We have said it over and over in this series, Christ is like no other. And the fundamental truth that we zero in on, the reason he is like no other, is that he is God. He is God in human flesh, the one and only. And for that reason, he can do for us what no other religious leader, what no other faith, what no self-assurance or hard work can do. He is our God. This Christmas, consider with me again three compelling truths that Paul reminds us of in this passage. First, consider God's pleasure. God's pleasure was that Christ reveals God to us. Christ reveals God to us. As Paul put it, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." All the fullness of God dwell in Jesus Christ. The phrase "for God was pleased" is an important phrase. God's pleasure is always God's will. And God's will is always God's pleasure. So it was the pleasure of God that all the fullness of God, every aspect of God, every characteristic of God, full deity of God would dwell in Jesus Christ. That was God's will. That was God's pleasure. It means that when Christ came, he didn't begin to develop deity along the way. He wasn't partially deity when he arrived in Bethlehem in the manger and in human flesh. He didn't grow into being like God over time. He was God. He was God from the moment of his birth to the crucifixion to the resurrection, just as he is today. And that was God's will. That was God the Father's will. God's good pleasure that all the fullness of Christ with no limitations, all the fullness of God with no limitations would be in Jesus Christ. To know God is to know Christ, and to know Christ is to know God. And we don't have to worry that we're only getting part of God when we know Christ. It's all the fullness of God that we find in Jesus Christ. Everything we need to know about God, we can know by knowing Jesus Christ. He's completely, in whole, not in part, fully God, and also fully man. Now, while the apostle doesn't point to that, it goes without saying that this baby born in the manger in flesh was fully man. But what needs to be underscored is that he was fully God. As there are so many in our world that would claim to be God or God-like, or even tell you that you have characteristics of God, you and I need to remember that only in Christ did God reveal completely who he is. It was God's pleasure and God's will that the fullness of deity was in Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's God's purpose. We remember at Christmas God's purpose. Not only that Christ reveals God to us, but that Christ reconciles us to God. Christ reconciles us to God. That's why he came, was to reconcile us to God. Verse 20, "And through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross." You know, the Bible teaches that we are at war with God, that as sinners, and we are fundamentally, basically sinners, and a sinner is someone who is in disobedience to God. The Bible doesn't say you're not a sinner if you're a good person. The Bible just says people apart from Christ are sinners. That's our condition. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, that means we are at war with God because our every choice is a choice against God until we come to Christ. And the Bible also says that you and I could not bridge that gap between us and God. There was nothing we could do to forge a treaty between us and God. It's not possible for a human being to do that. So God came to us. God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world so that he could have us back. And so that we could get back to him. To reconcile means to make peace between two warring parties. And some ambassador has got to step in the middle of that. Some ambassador has got to bring about that peace treaty. And that's what Christ did for us. How did he do it? Well, he did it by his blood on the cross. Christ was born to live a sinless life and to die on the cross for your sins, so that you would have access to God again when you came to Christ. See, what God did in Christ is he made reconciliation available to everyone, but not automatic. It's available to everyone because Christ has died on the cross, and his blood covers all who will come and trust Christ. It's not automatic because you and I have to make a decision for Christ. We have to make that decision. You know, just showing up at church on Christmas, while that's a wonderful thing, doesn't mean you're a follower of Christ. It just means you're in church at Christmas. Good for you. But a follower of Christ is someone who has trusted Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to bridge that gap between them and God, to find forgiveness of sin and finally peace with God, true reconciliation. By the same token, if you sit here this morning, you say, well, I've been reconciled to God. I have peace with God. Good. You don't have peace with God, though, because you brought him a basket of flowers. You don't have peace with God because you showed up at church at Christmas and maybe at Easter. You don't have peace with God because you're a good person and do good things. You don't have peace with God because you're politically correct or incorrect, or you're educated or uneducated, wealthy, have nothing. None of those get you peace with God. Peace with God comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and our acceptance of that blood as payment for our sin. And notice, you know, the Bible says, as Paul says here, our first problem, our first and foremost, our problem is not peace with our neighbors. It's not peace with one another. How I would love for the world to be conflict-free, wouldn't you? How I would love for the world to be conflict-free. How I would love for every Christmas pageant to be correct, every show on TV about Christmas to be correct, that peace on earth means everybody's going to get along. And that's what Christmas was about, to demonstrate that. That's not what Christmas was about, first and foremost. Christmas was about our main problem, that we are at war with God. Before, we're at war with one another because we're sinners. But we can't fix that. We can't fix the fact that we're sinners. Christ can fix that. And we are at war with God, and He came first to reconcile us to God, to bring that peace. That's what He did. You know, it's a sad truth that a lot of believers, many of us sitting in this room this morning, we recognize that, we understand it, we celebrate it at Christmas, that God came in Christ to reconcile us with God, to make peace with the God that we have offended and that we have been at war with. We believe that, we understand that, we will leave here today and forget all about it. But that should be the greatest celebration of our lives. What Christ has done for us is to forge reconciliation between us and God, between God and us. On Christmas Eve, 1914, the Treaty of Ghent was signed in Belgium, Ghent, Belgium. It was the United States and Great Britain sat down to end the War of 1812. And it was on Christmas Eve of 1814 they signed the Treaty of Ghent. But it wasn't until February of 1815 that the Treaty of Ghent was ratified in the United States. And from December of 1814, Christmas Eve, to February of 1815, word did not reach the United States. And the British in the States, still at war, were still fighting. One of the greatest battles and victories for the United States actually came 2 weeks after the war had ended on paper, the Treaty of Ghent. But the U.S. had not gotten the word, and in Louisiana, the Battle of New Orleans, the U.S. forces had victory over Great Britain, a party they were not even fighting with anymore. We need to grasp what it is that God's done for us. We need to start living as people that are at peace with God because He's forged peace with us. We live in a world which doesn't even know what God's done for them. And we sang a little bit ago, "Go tell it on the mountain." We need to tell people what Christ has done for us. He has reconciled, made peace between us and God. We shouldn't be fighting that battle anymore. We should be celebrating what God has done for us in Christ, and we need to remember it every single day, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has reconciled us to Himself. Then third, something else to remember this Christmas, God's promise. God's promise. Christ restores all things to God. In verse 20, there is a promise beyond the peace that God makes with us. There's a promise that looks forward to what God is doing and will continue to do and will ultimately finish. As Paul says, through Him, to reconcile everything to Himself by making peace through the blood of His cross. Did you see that? Whether things on earth or things in heaven. See, when we sinned against God, Adam and Eve sinned against God, that sin tainted all of creation. It's the reason we have earthquakes. It's the reason we have cancer. It's the reason we have problems, because sin has tainted and corrupted all of creation. And the Bible says that creation itself looks forward to its reconciliation with God. It looks forward to the day when God wraps all this up. Now, the Apostle Paul would put it elsewhere in the book of Romans. He would say, all of creation groans for that day waiting for real peace and reconciliation to come about. That's what he means right here. But he also means that God's doing that even now. Did you notice in verse 20, the phrase making peace is a little bit different? Paul's been talking in past tense. He's been talking about what God already did in Christ. Now he's talking about what God is continually doing in Christ. Because Christ came, God is making peace with everything else, including humanity. And God is working through everything else. He is consistently and regularly at work in creation to bring about his will, to reconcile everything to himself. That's hard for us to understand because we don't actually see it happening all around us. But what it reminds us of is that God in Jesus Christ is our creator. And as our creator, he intends to be the redeemer of all creation. He intends everything to come back to him the way that he intentionally designed it to be. And he does that through Christ. When Christ died on the cross, he made it possible even for all of creation to experience peace again. For all of creation to know what it would be like for earthquakes to no longer rumble. For disease to no longer wreak havoc on people. For creation to finally and forever have peace. So Christ came and that promise is out there before us. Do you know what matters even more is right now that you know you have peace with God? That you know right now, there's a promise out there for creation, but that promise is available to you right now, that right now you can know you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel like your life is a big strain, it's full of stress, it's full of pressure, and Christmas just brings on more and more. Have you ever considered maybe the problem is not so much that you can't handle your life or you're not doing things well, the problem is that you're not at peace with your Creator. So you're not living by his rules, you're not living by his guidelines, and you're not living for his purposes. You just keep living for yourself. Maybe this Christmas, everything could change. Maybe this Christmas, it's finally time that you look your Savior in the face. You look at this baby and you acknowledge this is more than a baby. This is more than an annual celebration. This is God in human flesh who came to bring peace between me and him. And nothing else in my life is going to work. Nothing's going to go right until I accept the truce and the treaty that he's already signed for me. Just a few weeks ago, you know, this time of year, there are Santas everywhere. And a lot of folks, that's their job. They're professional Santas, including a Santa named Eric Schmidt Maxton. And Mr. Maxton is a professional Santa. And a few weeks ago, he was at a hospital, something that a lot of professional Santas do. They go to the hospitals and they see the kids and they spend time with them. And at that hospital, he was in the room of a terminally ill five-year-old. And he says that he went over to the bedside of the five-year-old. He sat down with the little boy and he cradled the little boy in his arms. He said, "What do you want this Christmas?" And the little boy said, "Can you help me?" And as he tells the story, right after that, that little boy passed away. And he says he couldn't bear it. He just got up and he fled from the hospital, weeping and in tears to get out of there. He echoes the sentiment that a lot of Santas do this time of year. That when they sit down with children and they talk to children, oh, it's not that hard when a child says, "I want a train set for Christmas. I want an electric drum set for Christmas. Even I want a pony for Christmas." That's not hard. They can work through that. But he said inevitably, and every Santa experiences this, there are the children that say, "My mommy and daddy aren't getting along. Can you fix that? My daddy needs a job. Can you get him a job? My mommy's very sick and she might die. Can you help? We don't have any money to buy presents this Christmas. Can you help? Can you help? Can you help?" And they know they can't. That's what's so unbearable. They can't perform magic. They're purely pretend. They can't change the world. They can't change the child's life. They can't help a marriage. They can't do that. All they can do is grieve their inability to do anything and get up and get out of there and weep in the car on the way home. Because at the end of the day, they're just pretending. God has come to us in Jesus Christ. You know what he weeps about? That you won't let him help you. That you keep trying to live this life on your own. That you keep ignoring, denying, or rejecting the fact that he's not pretending. He's real. And he came for you and to you in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, so you could know your Creator, so you could be saved, so you could have peace with God, so your marriage could be healed, so you would have hope in this world. Why, how do you think he feels when we turn away from him as he's offering us peace and life in Jesus Christ? It could be this morning I've just described you. I've just described the way you've approached God all these years, all these months, these past weeks, up to today. You said, God, I'm okay. I can handle it on my own. Or, God, I don't believe you came. Christmas is just a fairy tale. It's just a story. It's just pretend. But maybe God is speaking to your heart. Maybe he's finally getting through to you that your problem is you need peace with God to stop rejecting, stop denying, start accepting who Jesus really is. And accept Christ as your Savior and accept his help in your life and accept that peace that he came to forge between you and God. This could be the Christmas that changes everything. Don't you think? This could be the Christmas. And what a Christmas it would be if you finally said yes to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, even as we sit in this place, God, we are well aware, God, that we have offended you, that we have sinned against you, God, that we've turned our back on you, we've said no to you, and we keep fighting a war, God, that you've brought peace to, that you've brought that treaty to. God, please forgive us for that. Father, my simple prayer here this morning is that each one of us in this room would be able to acknowledge the truth. We are right with God through Jesus Christ, or we have turned on our backs on you. And God, that we would celebrate the first, God, that we are right with God through Jesus Christ. We are living the life, God, that you've given us to live, your purpose for our lives. And whatever rough things we go through in this life, we know you're with us, and we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But God, if the second is true, if we're really honest, and we would say we have turned our backs on you for years, for months, for weeks, even today, that God, we would turn around and face you today. I pray for us today, Father, if there's just one in here who needs Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day they would come to Christ, receive him as their Savior, and be forgiven. If there's a believer in here, God, who's been trying to work out things all on their own, God, may this be the Christmas that changes everything. As they yield up to you, as we yield up to you, Father, all our struggles and problems and strains and excesses and difficulties, God, all those things we try to handle on our own, God, may we give those to you this morning. Father, we celebrate Christmas today by trusting Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.